What is up, guys? It's me, Louis G at SIUSA Sports. Just wanted to answer a few questions that were going on. It's my first podcast of the new year. Here we are, quarter of the season already. And getting a few intrigued people going in on who's going to win the title. And spoiler alert, it's probably going to be the Warriors. But until we get to that point, there is a huge amount of time that we can make some money. And hopefully we all make some money together. The first question that I received, that one of the guys that is a member of the SIUSA Lifetime group that, you know, a few of you know, there's a group of people a little bit, you know, under the century mark that have been following me for 6 or 7 years since I've been on Twitter. And then once I started SIUSA, it was a different realm for me. I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't that good at what I did, but I was good enough to get by. We've evolved over time. We've brought in different people that have given us a different state of mind on what they believe in and how they view games and just the human nature of what goes on in sports. So the first question will be, you've stated you weigh up intangibles, coaching, matchups, stuff from film. In addition to your basic ratings or your statistic model that most of us use to define an edge, I'd be interested in you elaborating more on the things you look for when capping a game. And that's a terrific question. Because it is the sole reason why I can set myself apart from everybody else. I'm not going to say on the podcast that I'm the best capper, I know everything capper or anything of that nature. But what I will say is I have a unique way of going about things, especially when we're talking about NFL and NBA. I feel like there's very few cappers out there, especially in the Twitter world, that realize that these guys are human beings. They're people that walk. They're people that eat. They're people that go out at night. There are people that date, they're in relationships, they break up, they, you know, they have spousal issues, they have children issues, they miss first birthdays, they miss Sweet 16s. This is what happens in the professional realm of sports, which is why I chose over my quote-unquote career of capping to more or less stick to NFL and NBA. So a little bit of the information that I look for is what teams are going where, what teams play before and after. I call it the plus two. So I always look at, for instance, we'll use the Pistons are playing the Atlanta Hawks tonight. I look at the before, which is the minus two. I look that the Pistons were on the road at the Magic and they played the Heat the game before. They split those games and they should have lost both games. I watched the Magic game. They should have lost that game. And then I look at the plus two. So I look at the next two games that they're playing. Okay, so not only do I look at the Hawks tonight, I look at their following game. And then I try to find an edge. I try to find an edge a week before. I cap a week in advance. That way if I lose 20 in a row, I still feel like going back a week in a clear state of mind, I know that next Thursday, whatever next Thursday is, it's the 15th or whatever of November, I know that I cap that a week in advance, and the lines that I put down on those games based on their plus or minus two game schedule are right. So then all I have to do is look and see what the lines at either Bet Online, Five Dimes, Pinnacle, wherever you guys bet at, your local. I can compare the two and I say, wow, I have line value. Tonight, I had line value on the Hawks. I looked at it from a human standpoint that Atlanta, at least for me, I don't know how many of you guys that are going to listen have ever been to Atlanta. It's a top three party city in the United States. It's a lot better than Detroit. It's a lot warmer too. Maybe not this time of year, but I always associate with Detroit with like snow and like just bitterness. Sorry for Detroit and Cali, because I like you, Callan, so we're all good. Don't worry about that. But going down to Atlanta is way better than being in Detroit. Everybody outside Detroit would agree with that, including the guys that aren't from Detroit that currently play for the Pistons. So they're leaving the Miami Heat, so in Miami, then Orlando, day off, which they happen to spend in Atlanta, and then they play the Hawks. This is going to be a rough game for them, in my opinion. Now, it might not win tonight, but if you give me 1,000 of these games, I can promise you 58 to 60% of them win in this spot. That's a reason why I'm taking the Magic tonight. Another spot that I'll look for is young teams. Young teams don't know that they're supposed to lose. Last night, I made the mistake of leaving the Suns off my card, going against a really good Celtics team. The Celtics have Utah tonight on a back-to-back, which is a very difficult place to play, especially game two. The worst back-to-back, if you're looking and taking notes, is the Denver-Utah or Utah-Denver. Playing at altitude, back-to-back, you can almost forget about winning both those games. Typically, the NBA, I think the NBA this year has done away with that one. But going from Phoenix to Utah is a tough road series, which is why you're getting 6 points on what is probably the best team in the Eastern Conference. So I do agree with that line move. But the one thing, if I can reiterate enough, is that you got to think about these guys as guys. I mean, what would you do? If you're leaving a city and you're going to another city, what's your motivation factor? How hard are you going to try? Are you FaceTiming with your wife? What are you doing as a human that's going to make you perform at a peak level? Can I trust a team like the Pistons? Maybe not. Can I trust a all-business team like the Celtics? Maybe. Can I trust a young team like the Nets? That's difficult. Those are things that you have to weigh outside of spreadsheets or Twitter, that sometimes you're going to get that information. You're going to know who the referees are. You're going to know who they played before. You're going to know who they play after. You're going to know. Over the last 20 years, Detroit has won 18 out of 36 games in Atlanta. Okay, nobody cares about that because Detroit this year is different than Detroit last year, and Atlanta this year is different than Atlanta last year. So who cares about that? So what I try to do is keep it simple, stupid, the KISS method. What do humans do? Do you like being in a certain city or do you not? Who's your point guard? Who's the guy that can make shots down the stretch? What variables do you have? What coaching do you have? What do your out-of-timeout situations look like? So it's a difficult question for me to answer because there are an abundance of things that I look for when I cap an NBA game, especially because I cap a week in advance, that I have no idea what the line is going to be. I know what my line is, and then I see a line come out, and then I wait to bet it until it's available for everybody that follows me on our private handle. So I'm in a little bit of a difficult space there, because once all the information's out, that's when all the lines are open worldwide, and you see a little bit of movement. But I'm okay with that. Currently this year, we're sitting at 56 wins, 35 losses, plus 23.35 units. Or if you want to say $100 better is up $2,300, a little bit over that, tipping the waiter a little over $2,300. The next question that I got was, if I were running the Wizards, what would I be doing right now? Some of y'all know I'm a huge Washington Wizards fan. For the past, 6 or 7 seasons, I've had a really good beat on this team, what they would do from a betting perspective, because I could relate to them from a human standpoint. I listen to more of their pregame, postgame interviews. I listen to the coaching more. This year has been a rough start for me. If it wasn't for them, I'd probably be up 30 units. I'm not sure what to expect from them at the moment. What I would do personally, I would fire Scotty Brooks. I would have fired him 2 weeks ago. Actually, I would have fired him 6 months ago. But right now, I would let him go. What he has is a headstrong point guard. And I have defended John Wall for a very long time, and I'm not going to do it right now. Simply because I think he's putting himself over the team. $200+ million contracts will do that to you. But it's no different than the situation that happened in Oklahoma City with Scotty Brooks. We're just seeing it evolve again. They need, and I have said this through texts through a couple of people, I would hire John Calipari from Kentucky if I was the Wizards. If I was Ted Leonis, I would hire John Calipari. I would trade or try to trade Otto Porter. I would try to just dismantle this team and pick up Boogie Cousins next year, both of whom went to school and played for John. And I would see if that team can make any run or persuade Kevin Durant to come to town. That's what I would do as a Wizards fan, but also somebody that knows the Wizards a little bit more than most and has a little information on them. The next question that I received, next and last question, just in case, was, is this going to be my last NBA season? I've hinted towards that. I will be not doing another season after this. So I've put all my time, I've put all my efforts into preparing for this NBA season. I've been preparing for NFL, I've been preparing for college and college bowl season. The amount of work that I put in to putting on podcasts, to placing bets myself and then logging in and placing bets somewhere else and then answering questions if I have a losing week or I have a losing day, or I have at the beginning of the year I have 30 people DMing me, 37 times a day, and I'm trying to answer them as politically correct as I can when I'm not that way, when I'd rather just get on a podcast and say either you want my picks or you don't. My track record is my track record. It's just becoming too much. I feel like the value that I've brought people over time that have signed up and invested their time into me and investing their money into being a member of the SIUSA team, I feel like we've done our part. And bringing on Cover Stars 1 at Cover Stars 1 a couple years ago is just absolutely killing baseball year after year, killing hockey year after year, killing college basketball year after year. I don't think there's any more value that we can bring anybody at this point. So I would say yes. It's gonna be my last run at this NBA season. As I say every year, if I get the 30 units, that's a good year for me. And if I get the 30 units soon, that's gonna be around a 28 or 29% ROI, which I'm not gonna beat. Even if I cap the rest of the year, I'll never beat it. What we're doing is just betting for fun, betting for the viewing purposes of betting, and betting for action, and that's just not something I believe in. So I hope that everybody that does follow me at SIUSA team, and that follows me at SIUSA Sports, formerly Louis G 023. Everybody understands that I'm not going anywhere off Twitter. I'm not deleting my Twitter. I'll still be around, but I won't be able to exclusively give you my picks anymore. And as the season evolves, I'll be able to delve in more information of why I can't do that going into the next season. But we'll pick it up again here maybe next week. If you guys during the week want to send me any kind of questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I'm super excited for this year. We're a quarter of the way through. I think the Eastern Conference is wide open. There's a lot of value bets that I think we're going to be able to make come around Christmas time. But for now, I'm enjoying hoops being on TV again. I'm enjoying that college football is going to be getting down to the bowl season, which historically has been very good. And I'm also stoked about NFL coming down the final stretch to playoffs. But it's SIUSA Sports signing off. I'll talk to you guys next. Thanks.